Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's second quarter 2014 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the second quarter of 2014. As usual, in the slide number three, we have the agenda for the call, and we will start reviewing the financial numbers for the quarter, and then we'll go into the review of each segment, and we will talk about the market and the outlook for those segments. Finally, we will go to the second quarter and subsequent events, and we will finish with a round of Q&A at the end of the call. So if we start with the highlights of the quarter in page number four, we can see that the revenues for this quarter were almost $1.4 billion. That is 12.3% higher than the first quarter of 2014. And our adjusted EBITDA came to be $308 million. That is slightly higher than the EBITDA we showed for the first quarter. Net income was 20% higher than the first quarter and was $127 million. Our net financial debt stood at $4.4 billion, which is 1% lower than the first quarter. And our net debt to EBITDA increased slightly from 3.6 to 3.7 for this quarter relating to the last 12 months EBITDA. Net debt. If we go on page number five to the detail of the income statement, we can see the increase in revenues, which are expressed in almost all of the business segments, basically driven by high volumes that are explained because of low volumes that we had in the first quarter related to the strikes that Chile experienced in almost all the ports at the beginning of January. In terms of cost of sales, we are seeing also an increase, and it's basically because of the increase in volume. We had a minor increase in the unitary cost of pulp, basically due to lower production in some of the mills. In terms of other operating expenses, we have a decrease that is explained basically because of the first quarter we had some provisions for forestry losses due to forest fires. That amounted to $30 million. So that's why you see a decrease in this quarter to $24 million. Adjusted EBITDA, as we said, it was more or less stable, with a 1.7 increase over one quarter, and the run rate has been about $1.2 billion for this year, 2014. One of the explanations of the possible improvements in results for the rest of the year will be the depreciation of the Chilean peso that now at this moment is close to $600 by the valuation of the dollar in the rest of the world that caused a depreciation of the Chilean peso. If we go to page number six, we can review the cash flow of the company. We have, as you can see in the first line, we have a 14%, which is a high increase in the operating cash flow. This is again due to the normalization of the working capital due to increased sales that were sometimes blocked by the strikes in the ports at the beginning of the year. So that's why the collection of accounts it was one $1.4 billion, more or less, for the quarter. In terms of the cash from investments activities, we have seen a reduction of 14%, and this is relates to our program of decreasing CapEx that we have shown in year 13 and also 14. So we have no big expansion projects for the second half of 2014, so that this amount should be going down as we move the rest of the year, since the Monte Zapata project is completed at this time. In terms of cash from financing activities, we received $300 million coming from an issue of local bonds that we did at the beginning of the second quarter, that is shown there, proceeds from borrowing, and we paid some pre-extra financing during the quarter also, and we paid $78 million in dividends in May. Our next dividend payment is in December. This is the policy payment of dividends that is done every year. Regarding our cash position, it went up from $100 million to $640 million, basically explained by the higher cash provided by operating activities. Page number 7. We are showing on our financial debt. You can see there that our total financial debt was $5 billion at the end of the quarter, with a cash position of $640 million, to a net financial debt of $4.4 billion. Our ratio went up slightly to 3.7. The main explanation is that we have a payment of dividends in the quarter, and also since we are always calculating the EBITDA the last 12 months, this time we took out a high quarter of EBITDA in the year 2013. So that's why the moving EBITDA goes down slightly, and that is the reason why the leverage goes up slightly to 3.7. As you already know, Moody's put a stable outlook on our ratings. We were on a negative outlook for some time, and now Moody's have stabilized our ratings. Already talked about the 7 million US of local bonds, those $300 million that were issued in April. And in July, we went to the market, to the capital markets in the US, and we issued a $500 million in 144A with Reg S that was used basically to pay some financing that we have, bank financing, and also to have the cash available to pay the bond that is due on April next year. Those were 10-year bonds maturing in 2024, and we had a very good reception from the financing markets in that bond. The financial debt profile, as usual, we show it. We don't have any big amortizations in the rest of the years. Part of the bank of the debt that is shown in 2014 are some the bank debt that was not paid but at June, but is already paid the $200 million, and also some accrued interest that we always shown there, that roughly are another $200 million. The rest are pre-extra financing that we have been paying. We only have $100 million in pre-extra financing outstanding that will be paid at maturity at the end of the year. So with this, we have everything financed with the cash at hand that we have right now. We can pay all amortization for the rest of this year and the next. Page 8, some ratios. Here you will see our gross margin went down a little bit to 32.5 from 34%. Our last 12-month EBITDA margin went from 23.3 to 22.5. Again, caused by not including a big EBITDA quarter that was included in the first quarter from 2013. Return over assets is a little bit better than 9%. And in terms of leverage, we already talked about the 3.7 times compared with the 3.6 times. The rest of the ratios are more or less stable from quarter to quarter. Now we can move to review by segment. Let's start with pulp on page number 10. And you can see there the sales. We are showing an increase in sales of 9% from quarter to quarter, again, basically due to an increase in volume because we had a relatively weak quarter in the first throughout this year due to the port strikes, with some decrease in pricing. The pricing of pulp was going a little bit down during the quarter, especially short fiber, that reached about levels of 550, 560. And long fiber was not immune, but it had some decreases, but not very significant. So it was more or less stable. The reason for that was basically the more supply coming to the market, especially the pulp coming from the Susana project, and more recently the pulp that is coming from our Monte de Plata that just started in the beginning of June. So the price cuts that we saw in a short period from March to May, and then in June prices started to stabilize, and we can talk a little bit later, but prices have been rather stable during the summer in the Northern Hemisphere, and we hope that we'll stay that way and continue and start going up probably afterwards. In regard to production, you can see that the production for the quarter was 760,000 tons. That is a reduction from the levels of 780 that we shown in the first quarter, but it's basically due to our annual maintenance that we had on the Arauco mill. Year over year, there's not very much changes in sales, 1.4%. That is due basically by an increase in prices for regarding the next year and also with the volume. If we go to page 11, now talk a little bit about the outlook, where we can see the graph of the index of pricing of NBSK and BHKP, and you can see that the spread between those fibers, at least on list prices, has been continued to go up. Now it's close to $200 per ton compared to the call that we had a quarter ago that was 175. In terms of spread between net prices, the difference is probably less, let's say about $130 to $150 per ton. And we think that the following month we continue to see some weak conditions for short fiber markets because Monte del Plata or mill is adding more capacity. But we think that since the inventories are on a normal level, they shouldn't be that bad. And also prices for short fibers are on the bottom of the cycle, so we think there's not a lot of space to continue going down. So and also we think that demand should grow due to the end of the summer month, and we should see more demand coming the rest of the year. In terms of inventory, we can see that long fiber is at 25 days, and DHKP eucalyptus is at 40 days. So the levels of inventory for long fiber are very tight, and that is supporting the good pricing for long fiber, and we could expect some small increases probably next month in the pricing for softwood. You have to remember that Arauco Steel is a company that sells mostly softwood. Without Monte del Plata, we were about 70% softwood and 50% hardwood, and with Monte del Plata full capacity, that could change to 60%, but still we are a majority of long fiber producers, so we are not so impacted by the low prices in hardwood. Okay, now if we move to panels on page 12, we can see that compared to last quarter, sales of panels went up by 4.6%. This is explained by a mix of price and volume from the last quarter. We are seeing good conditions in North America. Pricing has been stable and good margins, and we are seeing a lot of stability and good margins coming from those markets. Also, the same in Chile, Peru, and Mexico. The only markets that we have seen some weakness is in Brazil. It's not performing as good as North America or Chile. There's some decrease in the growth of the country, and that is impacting margins and demand. Of course, there's some new mills that came up online on Brazil, so that is impacting margins in Brazil. And also, more recently in Argentina, we have seen some declining in margins and demand that used to be very good. We used to have very good margins in Argentina. Now that is decreasing in the last month. So if we compare again to 1 year ago, there's a 10% reduction, basically explained by less volume and a little bit less of price. In terms of production, very stable, 1.2 million tons more or less, very much compared with the last three quarters that we have shown here on that table. In terms of outlook, we think that our North American operations should continue to be positive. Economy in the USA and housing is improving steady, slowly but steady, and that should drive the demand for panels and furniture up in this process. In terms of sales in Chile, we are seeing also stable prices and increased demand for value-added products. We foresee for Brazil that the next month should have strong demand. We saw some decrease during the World Cup, but we expect that the demand should stabilize and normalize a little bit to the end of the year, and the panel market is showing some initial signs of recovery at this point. The case for Argentina is different. You all know the situation in Argentina is very difficult, so the economy could continue weakening, and that could have an impact in the panel markets that we have there in that country. Also, Mexico is a big country in terms of demand, and we have seen some more participation from other foreign players coming from other countries exporting to Mexico. And this has impacted a little bit the pricing that we are seeing over there. Not very much, but some impact in the margins in Mexico. Now, if we move to page 14, some timber. Here we are showing a big impact in sales, almost 40% coming from last quarter. And this is explained by a high increase in volume from this division that is basically based on export from Chile. And that's why we had a big impact on the strikes on the ports. And it takes some time to get to normal levels of sales. And that's why we saw a lot more sales during the second quarter compared to the first quarter. Even if you look at production is more or less stable, but sales were a lot more than the production level, normalizing inventories. And that's why we saw this 40% increase in sales. In terms of the market during the second quarter, the real estate and construction sector showed an improvement, and the pricing of moldings was stable compared to the first quarter. So it continues to be a very good market for us, and with good margins. In terms of the demand in China, where we sell some wood there, it was affected by overstock of logs and wood, but not in a significant way. But overall, the sawn timber division is showing good results, and we expect it to continue during the rest of the year. That is shown a little bit in page 15. You can see there the housing start index that is continually going up with some hiccups in the way, but now with levels of 1 million houses a year. And so that it's showing the demand for wood products and also panel products is getting better and with good margins in those markets. We are seeing also very strong sales in Asia with price increases. As I told you, the only thing is in China. Middle East with strong demand with price increases. And some stable demand in Latin America with some minor price cuts in Chile and Argentina. In terms of United States, molding sales increasing and plywood prices holding stable even with the higher volume coming from our mill in Nueva that started again at the beginning of the year after the reconstruction that was done in the last 2 years. Okay, now we'll move to page 16. Some small things about the subsequent events. We, as I told you, we went to the market and issued $500 million in notes with reg rights. We got a yield of 4.64. This was a record in terms of yield for the company. The demand was very good, $2.2 billion. And this is a 10-year bullet maturing in August 2024. The use of proceeds was completed to refinance debt. We already refinanced $200 million, and we have about $900 million in cash at this point that we will keep in order to pay the $370 million amortization in April. So we are already done in terms of financing for this year and the rest. Page 17, Montes del Plata started in June, began its startup process. We did our first shipment from our own port in July. And now at the second month of operation, we already are at 61% of production capacity. We expect to be at full production this year. Probably the last month of the year will be producing a full month of full capacity. And at this time, we're expecting that the total volume coming from Monte Plata in production for 2014 could be between 550,000 to 580,000 tons. The ramp up has been very good. The mill it's producing as it was planned, and we are very happy with this process, and we expect to be soon producing at full capacity. Page 18, we have announced that we presented the environmental study for a conversion of our Valdivia mill to produce dissolving pulp. We just presented that. The idea here is to make at about $180 million investment in order to make the conversion of this mill to produce dissolving. This project has to wait for the environmental approval. We don't know at this point how long it will take because we just presented it. Construction for after the environmental approval is granted and could take between 12 months and 18 months. This could be done without stopping the mill, and after that we will be able to produce a dissolving pulp or normal paper grade pulp as an option, and of course we'll be able to produce a high value added product in this mill. So this is a very good project. It's waiting for environmental approval, so this I think won't be materialized soon, and we have to wait for the board before announcing the formal approval by the board of this project. Okay, this is I think the last thing I have to talk. I would like to open it now for Q&A. If you have any questions about what we have told you in this conference, or if you have any questions about the press release that we sent yesterday. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any time your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. And the first question comes from Roy Yakulik with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, could you give us any comment or update on the MAPA project? I believe it was the decision is supposed to be made by the end of the year. If you can comment on that and perhaps any comment that you might have on consolidation in the industry.
Okay, thanks, Roy, for the question. Well, there's not a lot of news about MAPA. I mean, we got the environmental approval, as you know, at the beginning of the year. We are still analyzing the project, and during that time, there were some concerns about some communities that they told that they weren't consulted on the process that we on the environmental process. The environmental and that started a new allegations against the environmental authority about the legality of the environmental approval. That was recently. And just to tell you that the environmental approval process took more than 1.5 years, and during that time, you have to make consultations to all the communities, and we made the process. At the end of the process, all the authorities had to say if the process was okay, and all of them said that the process was done as was asked, but again, a few people from some communities said that they were consulted, and that started a new process of allegations that we are waiting to see what happens on that. But anyway, we haven't made a decision by board, and we have to wait to see what happens with this legal process that started recently, to see at what is going to be the timing of the approval by the board.
I guess you may need a new approval from the environmental impact. Is that correct? Or environmental authority? Is that correct?
No. We don't know yet because we have the environmental approval. This is new in Chile. I mean, that someone says that the process wasn't done correctly, and they ask again CONADI. CONADI is the part of the government that deals with communities, indigenous communities. CONADI already said that during the process that the process was done correctly, but because of this allegation, they were asked again. And this is not normal. I mean, we don't know if this thing is going to get normalized or what is going to happen at this point.
So, okay, great. Yeah, thanks.
But that we're going to need a new process of environmental code. It's not clear yet.
Okay, so great.
We're still waiting, and probably this could take some time. So we don't know yet if it's going to be decided by the board at the end of the year at this point.
Okay, thanks. Just one comment. I noticed in the earnings presentation, which is great, you provide information by business division on changes in net sales price and sales volumes year over year, which isn't included in the earnings release, which comes out earlier. It would be really helpful to have that in the earnings release. I think it would benefit analysts in writing their reports and would benefit you because of that. So that would be nice to have in the earnings release. Thank you.
Okay, yes, we can do that. I mean, it's no problem.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Alberto Aristia from Santander. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Gianfranco. Thank you for having my questions. So, relating to Montes del Plata, do you have any guidance of the average cost during the ramp-up process? Do you have any objective average cost when it is working at full cap? And my second question is, does the company have any view of the last news related with Montes del Plata in Uruguay about foreign investments, the legal demand that the machine provider did? Thanks.
Okay, I don't have a cost for the ramp-up because as it's a ramp-up, it's not very, very helpful to know those costs. We have only had like 2 months of production, so I don't have information of the average cost at this point. So it's not really relevant, I guess, until we are more close to capacity. And also, we're not disclosing at this moment the cost that we're expecting for the long term. They are, as you may imagine, one of the most competitive in the industry because of the capacity of the mill and the technology. So we are not disclosing average cost at this point for the mill. In terms of the news of Uruguay, I guess you're relating to the law that was approved by the lower chamber, the diputados in Uruguay. This is I have heard some news that is being changed in the Senate, so I don't have really the latest information on that. The deputies were trying to include some protection for foreign ownership of governments in land in Uruguay. That is being changed at this moment in the Senate, so I don't have information of what's going to end up on that. But it was basically related to try to protect from investment of countries and owning a lot of pieces of land, not private companies. And that is being discussed at this moment in the Senate, so I don't have any new news about it at this point.
Okay, thank you very much, and I also will be pleased to have the last year production numbers for next time. Thanks.
The next question comes from Benoit Laprade with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just wanted to clarify on the Valdivia dissolving pulp. Some consultants were calling for an increase in paper grade production by about 100 to 110,000 tons. Would that be over and above or in place of?
No, I mean, there's no, I mean, if we move to dissolving, we will take out the capacity of paper grade that we're producing at this time with that mill. The mill has 550,000 tons of production now, and we will replace that with dissolving. So there's not increase in paper grade capacity. There's a decrease of 550 at this point. The benefit of this project is that since we are restricted on output, you don't have to decrease the total production capacity of the mill when you're converting to dissolving. But we are not expecting to increase paper grade. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, it does. So you will retain full flexibility to switch back to paper grade if markets would be better and margins better.
Yes, yes. We'll have the full capacity to switch back. I mean, that is not very common because pricing of dissolving at this moment is about $1,000. So it has always been above paper grade. But if things turn the other way around, we can switch and produce paper grade.
Great. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Andrew McCarthy with Bank Chile. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for the call. You mentioned that the depreciation of the peso should help the performance of the business in the next few months. Can you just give us an update in terms of your costs? What sort of proportion is in Chilean pesos today?
Yes, a proportion of Chilean pesos depends how you measure it, but on taking into account everything, as the forestry labor and all that in Chile, I think it could be about 40% peso, 60% dollars in pulp production. We have accounted in dollars. Some of things are accounted in dollars, but energy, chemicals, everything's in dollars. But I guess that probably 40% could be peso.
Okay, thanks very much.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we poll for questions. The next question comes from Arturo Prado with Credit Corp. Please go ahead.
Hi, Gianfranco. I was wondering if you can give us some color about expectation for softwood prices in the coming months and when you think will be the gap between softwood prices and hardwood prices will reach its normal average, historical average.
Okay. Well, it's hard to make prediction on pulp prices, but I think that softwood should be more stable or going up a little bit during the year. I mean, we were at levels of 700, then it went down a little bit, like $10 to $20, and now we are moving back to the 700 numbers in the coming month, I guess. And we could have some small increases during the rest of the year, but there's nothing that we can assure at this point. I mean, we expect that given the low inventory that we have in softwood, that we can have at least stable prices or at least going a little bit up in softwood. Hardwood, I think, personally, there's not a lot of room for going lower than the levels that we have. So we could see the spread decreasing a little bit, at least stable. I don't see the spread going a lot more above that we are seeing right now. So if you think that normal levels should be about $80, it could take some time to get to that normal level. I would expect the spread to continue to be in the levels of $130, $120 at least for the rest of the year. Because I don't expect big movements in pricing those fibers. They could go up, but not big numbers. And I don't know if that answers your question, Florian.
Yes, perfect. Thank you.
As there are no further questions, this concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you for attending the call. We, as usual, are open to any other further questions you have. You can send us an email or call us to our investor relations department. And we will expect to have a new conference call for the third quarter numbers probably at the end of November. And we will keep you posted for any news, and we'll send you the information and the material at that time. Thank you all again, and bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.